Morning to also support as well as us share this morning. So this morning the scripture comes from Romans chapter 15 verses 13. Over the last couple of weeks, Pastor Joel has been sharing with us about God's hammock. And is it hammock or hammock?
Hammock.
I hear a little mix. I hear hammock and I heard hammock. But it's spelled with the O, but I'm told that it's pronounced like it's a E, like hammock. So I'll go with hammock and not hammock, or if you've ever tasted ham hocks, you know, I'm not for sure, but it's close in verbiage, whichever way you think about it. So over the last couple of weeks, Pastor Joel has shared with us, in week one, what's on your mind? Prayer changes the way we think, when we rejoice, request, and rest. In week two, he shared with us, what's holding you back? Don't let religious barriers, communication barriers, or internal barriers hold you back from God's hammock. In week number three, he talked about praying for power. And God shows his power when we kneel before the Father, surrender our hearts to the Son, and plant ourselves in his love alone. Week number four was praying for wisdom. God grants us wisdom by revealing himself, his hope, his risen son, Jesus Christ. Week number five, we learned a little bit about praying for holiness. He is working. He is returning. He is faithful, and we are cooperating. And then last week number six, praying for love. Not human love, not someone else's love, but God's love. And how it grows and overflows us, strengthening us for the journey. So now that we are strengthened for the journey and we have come through those 6 weeks of various informative messages, we are now at week number seven, and we are talking about Paul and his prayer for hope. Paul, in previous verses of the book of Romans, he talks about hope and hope that doesn't make us ashamed. He used that in chapter 5, and I often reflect on that is when we're hoping in Jesus, though there are times where it's trialsome, we must remember Paul's words even then is that it does not make us shamed. It does not bring shame to us. Sometimes the trials of life stretch us, but yet they're designed to strengthen us. So when we hope and we rest in God's hammock, we must remember that this is to and for the glory of God. How many of you could use a little bit of hope on a daily basis? I know I can. And in times of trials and times of despair, times of uncertainty, still and yet we go from day to day and we may have plans, we may have thoughts, we may have ideas for what today looks like, what tomorrow looks like, and what the future looks like. But the truth is, we don't know what those days behold. In fact, we woke up this morning with new mercies, and we wait in expectation of what God is going to do in hopes that God will reveal himself in whatever he is bringing us through that day. That's right. Amen? Romans chapter 15, verse number 13, it says, and we can read this together, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's many blessings to being filled with the hope of God. Hope, by definition, in the American dictionary, whichever one you choose, I looked this up in several dictionaries, and come to find out that the definition is similarly the same. One, hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Another thing is a feeling of trust, just as the verse here says that hope, God's hope will fill us with joy and peace as we trust. We are not guaranteed trust through hope. It is that we are strengthened, our trust in God is strengthened through the hope and everything that we go through. So what is hope according to what we may better understand through understanding the Bible itself? Is hope is a confident expectation that God, who intervened in my life yesterday, is involved in my life today, and is leading all of my tomorrows. Right. And how many of you know that tomorrow is not just tomorrow? Tomorrow includes tomorrow itself as a day, tomorrow as in next week, tomorrow as in next month, tomorrow as in next year, and the future to come. Those are all of our tomorrows. So we must remember in each of our today and tomorrows that there is hope. And that in this hope, God intended to fill us with joy. I must remind you that oftentimes it is really confused, that joy is confused with happiness. Mm-hmm. And I must tell you, as living 40 plus years of life in this earthly vessel of a body that God has given me, I have confused happiness with joy. And if I've confused happiness with joy, I would bet to believe, if I were to bet, that you may have done the same thing. But rest assured that happiness definitely is not joy. See, joy is something that's deep and deeply embedded in us, while happiness is more defined as a topical, like, ointment. It soothes the skin, it takes care of things from a surface, but sometimes you actually need a dose or something to go on the inside, rather it's a liquid or a pill, but sometimes you need to take something that's going to work internally to externally. And that's how I feel about joy. Joy is not something that comes from the outside. It is something that is birthed and continues to grow like a pregnant woman who is bearing or carrying a child in the moment. It is internal first, and then we see it become external as God moves forward in a process. And human pregnancies are 9 months. So there is 9 months that a woman is carrying a child. And during this time, she comes from being exceedingly glad, hopefully, that this is God's gift, that she has been given the ability to be pregnant. And through this time, not only does her joy and her happiness become more full in that she's carrying, so does the family, the friends, and it brings upon celebrations to the point where maybe she's having a baby shower and she's showered with gifts and things of that. I feel like that is how the Holy Spirit is with us. It works internally. And as God continues to work through us and that we are filled with the joy of God, not only do we ourselves celebrate, but others begin to circle around us and to support us and gather in the same joy, because the joy is just obvious. I mean, traditionally, or in most cases, when a woman gets to about 20 weeks of pregnancy, she's showing. You can see it. And by month number 9, she's ready to say, listen, God, like, I have been exceedingly glad that you have blessed me with this, but this baby's got to go. Like, it's got to come out. Like, we need to see the fruit of this pregnancy in the form of birth, because I've been carrying this weight and I've been carrying it joyfully, but now I want to rejoice with it externally. And that's how I see happiness versus joy. Is joy is something that's really deep down inside, and sometimes you really just can't explain how it makes you feel. A pregnant mother feels a baby kicks inside. Those of outside of us, outside of us, as men, we will never ever know what that feels like. But as fathers and as males, there are times where we get to see the baby kick and see the skin move outwardly or put our hands to it and be able to feel that. And that's just like when people in our lives or around us, is they get to be in our presence. They may be able to touch us and feel the joy of the Lord as it flows from heart to heart and breast to breast, as the scripture tells us. So may in Romans 15 and 13, we're just going to reflect here oftentimes throughout the morning, is may God of hope fill you with all joy. Not some joy, not partial joy, but all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you look in the next slide that's coming up, is I'll be honest with you, is before I tell you my honest truth, is I have a question for you. Is how many people in here by show of hands has never been in a hammock?
Jude, sit down.
No way. All of you have been in a hammock before?
Jude.
Oh my goodness, this is awesome. You're probably trying to figure out, like, why is this awesome? Because I've never been in a hammock.
Pull your blanket over.
I have never, ever been in a hammock. And you're like, how is that? I don't know. I've gotten 40 plus years in life, and I've never been in a hammock. And I'm standing here before you, and we're talking about God's hammock. How is that possible? I don't know. But we're here together. And so as I begin doing some little, I was sitting in service the other week as Pastor Joel was just preaching, and some thoughts ran through my mind about this hammock. And so as I did a little research, I found these various types of hammocks, and each one of them ironically has like some purpose or reason for them. And hammocks originally came about many years ago in like South America or in countries or areas where it tends to be extremely hot. And hammocks were a way of giving a person a chance to be able to rest in their environment and not be exposed to creatures, critters, wet ground, and things like that where they were. And so as I looked up hammocks, I found it's five here, and there's another slide where there'll be five more. So basically 10 types of hammocks. You have the rope hammocks, you have a fabric hammock, a quilted hammock, a Brazilian hammock, and camping hammocks, and expedition hammocks, hanging egg chair hammocks. I didn't realize that was really considered a hammock. Hammocks with stands, and then hammocks as chairs. And who knew there was all these different types of hammocks? I certainly did not. Needless to say, again, I remind you, I've never rested in a hammock. But I do remember Gilligan's Island. Anybody remember Gilligan's Island? That may be one of the places that I am most familiar with seeing hammocks. And it's in those type of climates and environments that hammocks started off. Hammocks were designed to be attached to trees, hang between two trees. I was talking with an individual who so kindly yesterday enlightened me that rock climbers may choose two rocks to actually find a way to put these hammocks or suspend a hammock between two rocks in man. Anybody been in a hammock between two rocks elevated off the ground? I feel more comfortable now. Because for a second there, I felt so alone, like I'm the only person not in the hammock. How is that, Lord? But either way, so not only have, now that we're together and we've never suspended ourselves in a hammock in the air, think about it this way now, is that takes a lot of courage for a person to climb and to get that far off the ground, to feel comfortable enough to not only rest in a hammock, but to put the hammock up and then be suspended in midair with the only thing beneath them, in my eyes, if they fell out of a hammock, it would be fatal. It would be deadly in the sense that they are falling and their risk of survival is so much less than being suspended in a hammock between two trees, maybe 3 feet off the ground. We can survive a fall like that, right? If you've ever slept in a hammock and it became uncomfortable, or you're so resting so well in the hammock that you fall out and you hear your own body's thump, I promise you, you'll probably be awake by then, right? You're not sleeping as much. So to tie this into the scripture this morning is that in order to really rest in a hammock, I think that it comes with some reservations. And as I had desired to be in the hammock prior to today's message, I had some questions. And how many of us have come to God with questions? I feel like if we're going to rest in God's hammock, then we have to get to a point where we have to be comfortable with even being able to be in the hammock. We are definitely hopeful with entering it, because you're hopeful that you're going to be successful with getting in this hammock. You're going to be successful with being able to rest in the hammock, and then you're going to find yourself at peace. I think essentially that's the goal, is to be resting in the hammock that you may find rest. And as we go through Paul's prayers, and I thought about the overarching theme of the series is God's hammock. Lord, if I've never been in a hammock, or an unbeliever has never been in a hammock, how do they comfortably approach God's hammock and feel like they can rest? Probably a good question, right? See, we, many of us in this room, have been serving Christ for a very long time. We've learned how to trust him. We've learned how to lean and depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about the person that's a new babe in Christ? What about the person who does not know anything about God and his goodness and feel like everything in their life could not have been from the God who for so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. See, we have hope that if we trust in God, that we will have everlasting life. But how do we rest in that? How do we settle into the hammock and be okay with that when sickness and death and all other challenges come our way? When we believe that God, you promised that this would be the case. What if you were the mother, or someone was the mother and had a stillborn child, or you had children and you're being a parent and you had to bury children? That's something that I don't know that as a parent that would be so easy to embrace. And to remember that God is sovereign and that he makes zero mistakes. Good. How do you rest in God's hammock in such a situation? When your marriage is challenged, when your children seem like they've gone wayward from where you raised them to go, training up a child in a way that it should go, that when it gets old, that it won't depart from the faith. How do we rest in God's hammock in those moments? How do we snuggle in and rest in that, feeling like, God, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me, that you'd be there until the very end? Do you feel like that may have been the night you overturned and felt the thump, falling from God's hammock, and that maybe you felt fell out of his hand, out of his care? Indeed not. God has not let us go. He has not shaken us from his hand. We are still there. You're still in the hammock of God. Maybe you're just having a restless night inside the hammock. Could be so. Scripture says, weeping men endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. How long might the night be? Who knows? I guess it all depends on what season you're in. Summer nights are shorter. Winter nights are much longer. The darkness lasts for a much longer time. The nights are much chillier in the winter time. But maybe you don't see the four seasons of life. Maybe you live in a climate where you suffer rain for a very long time. How does it feel resting in a hammock and is just pouring down rain. Seems like the rain will never end or come to a stop. How do we rest in this? How can we say that the hope that God invented is hope for us so that we would live in the overflow? What does the overflow look like? What does it feel like? Again, Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is designed for us to overflow, to be in the overflow. What are we in the overflow of? God's love. That's right. Think about the time when you rested in the hammock. And the hammock is not designed for two people. It's designed for one. And so is it like life. You know, many of us are here. We get to celebrate in community. But on that great and noble day, when we have to answer either the text message, the phone call, the email, or whatever, however God chooses to call us home, when you've got to respond to that, you're probably going to be alone. We're not going together. We're probably not going in doubles. We're probably going alone, solo. And so is the hammock. So we must learn to rest in God and God alone. And as we rest in him, like the hammock does, we'll feel it sort of wrap itself around us, sort of snuggle us, sort of hold us. As I did a little bit more research, if you've not tried this, it is said that hammock, for people who have difficulty sleeping, try sleeping in a hammock. For whatever reason, your body gets to a relaxed state, and you're able to relax and settle into it, and you sleep better. Research from what I was studying over the week also says that when people are inside the hammock, it also helps with headaches, helps remove that. And I think because it just puts you at a point of rest, that you're resting so well, you're so comfortable, that you're separated. And we think of environmentally, do you sleep in a hammock inside your house? Probably not. You're probably sleeping out in the elements in a place that you've chosen, whether it's for camping, for leisure. Maybe there's no other choice but to have the hammock and to rest there. But you've chosen this space. And just like you've chosen this space, God has chosen you. God has chosen each one of us to come and to rest in him and to be invited to rest in his hammock. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. So me being a person who's never been in a literal hammock can rest assured that I feel like I've been in God's hammock. And has learned to trust him and has learned to relax in him and to learn to lean on him in the middle of the challenging situations, in the middle of the joyous occasions in life. I have found a place in rest, of rest in God. I have found it to be hopeful to continue to lean and depend on the God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. God gives us hope. When he refreshes us, we are able to stand in the overflow with them and to be filled with joy and peace and hope again. And that same hope works like grace and mercy. Whatever we've been given, we are challenged to give. Whatever we have received, Scripture challenges us to give that out again. The mercy that we've received, we are to give. The grace that we have been given, we are to give that. Now today, your challenge when we leave today is the same hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We are challenged, just as Paul says in verse number 14 of Romans 15, chapter 15. If you read that, Paul goes into saying that what he's doing, he's preaching and telling his audience to do the same thing. Is no, he's not preaching hope that he may be the only one with hope. He's preaching hope that others would also have hope. We're talking about the Apostle Paul, who killed, murdered, and did all kinds of things to Christians before he believed.
That's right.
And even though he did all of that, that's not the space that he lives in. That's not the space that he has to dwell in. No, after his conversion, he sees the light. He literally sees the light and has an encounter with Jesus Christ, and now is proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and saying, everything that I'm doing, you must mimic also. So then we are here. We are here in Paul's prayer journal. And we're challenged today to just hope and to trust and to lean on Jesus Christ. And even when you feel like doubting, still hope. Even when you don't know the answers to the questions, have hope. Even when you're left and wrestling in the middle of the night and you feel like you are tossing and turning and that the hammock is going to be unable to hold you, I want to remind you that that hammock, God's hammock, his hands are enormous. And there is a hammock for each and every person in this room that is viewing online. There is a hammock specifically for you. And don't rest outside of it. Seek to find it. Seek to find rest. And even when you're in the hammock of God and you feel restless, that's your time to pray. Lord, I know that I'm in your hands. I believe. As the scripture said, when a man says in the Gospels, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief.
That's right.
Is it possible to believe and yet have unbelief? Yes, because we've learned to trust God in a lot of areas. But remember, as long as we live, we will be stretched and challenged to learn how to trust him even the more. So then what is hope? Hope, again, is the confident expectation that the God who intervened in my life, your life, our life, yesterday, he's involved in our life today. And he is leading all. I know it's in lowercase letters here, but let's switch it. Capitalize it in your life, that he is leading all. And me being the person that I am, I will just share you with you an inside thought is all, like you wash laundry with. He's better than that. He is not that all that only gets your laundry cleaned. He is the all that washes all of our sins away. That removes all barriers. There is nothing that stands between you and Jesus Christ. When he's leading all of our tomorrows, he's leading us. So then, can we learn to trust in him? Just as the songwriter put it this morning, we sang it just before Becca came up. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to hope in Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to lean on God's unchanging hand. Won't you take a moment this morning and just reflect on just how good God has been? Will you take a moment to realize that through it all, through it all, we've learned and must continue to learn to lean on our Lord's unchanging hand. And the word of the Lord shall stand forever, for it endures forever. And just as the word endures forever, so shall your hope in Christ, I pray, remain forever. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise your name this morning for your goodness and your mercy, your kindness, the joy that floods our soul. God, we thank you for a hammock that symbolizes your hand, that we can rest, that we can find rest in you, that we can rest upon your shoulder. Then when against all odds, we can turn to you, we can turn to your word. Father, give us hope. For those of us whose hope was running on empty, I pray that you would refill us this morning. That you would strengthen us. That you would encourage us. Father, someone this morning was probably challenged through your word. I find that we find comfort and joy even as you strengthen, stretch us this morning. God, help us to find peace that surpasseth all understanding. Father, it is in your Son Jesus' name that we pray that this word will go out and never return void, that it will accomplish everything that you set it out to do. Father, we thank you for this privilege to be able to share your word with your people. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.